Springfield's Talk 104.1. Good Monday morning, friends. My name is Nick Reed. We talked Friday a bit about the booing, the Thursday night game, Chiefs-Texans, and I love how the media portrays this as it's the middle trash America, booing unity. Booing unity. This is gaslighting at its absolute best. I want to talk about that. Also, update on the continued effort to try and portray Trump as lying to Americans about coronavirus. Like, we had no idea. We thought that everything was just fine. Everything was okay because Trump said so. And that's, people just thought, you know what a fun new hobby would do? It'd be to just go and, you know, run a shortage on certain things like sanitizers and toilet papers. Because, you know, we weren't doing that because we knew that there was some sort of problem. You know, Trump also tricking us into thinking there was no problem by banning flights from China and from Europe. Don Luzaderi's first got our news update.
Good morning. Republic schools are reporting three more cases of COVID-19 within the district. Officials say one is an employee at Stripes 360. The other two are high school students. The district says the Stripes employee was never on campus when contagious, so no one has been quarantined. The first student was at school September 8th, and the other student on campus the 8th and 9th. Both of those kids have been considered contagious when they were at school. The number of coronavirus cases in Missouri growing at a faster rate than most states. The CDC says our state had the sixth highest number of new cases last week. More than 1,700 people in Missouri have died from COVID-19, and more than 102,000 Missourians have tested positive for the virus. And that is the latest news.
KTTS First Alert forecast. A sunny day, high of 80. Mostly clear tonight, 59 for low tomorrow. Sunny, high of 83. And for Wednesday, there's a 50% chance of afternoon showers. High of 83 expected. 55. That's what we're at now. You know what I think would be an interesting thing to do? As we listen to the tally, Republic got a student, you know, it's tested positive. The volleyball team, I think the girls' volleyball team, it's probably not. Is there a guys' volleyball team? The girls' volleyball team, you know, is quarantined. I would be interested to know what results we would see if they decided we're going to test every single kid in the school. Not just for coronavirus, but to see if they also have the antibodies, you know, to tell whether they have had it. I think that the results might potentially be shocking. Shockingly high. I suspect that I think we're playing a bit of a game, a blind game here, where we are operating under this assumption that we have to make sure as few kids as possible get coronavirus. And so we're not letting them, I know in Republic schools, they can't even use their lockers. They're toting around their back because, you know, if, you know how it is. And the bell rings and you remember you're reaching over each other and you're crammed in there while you're trying to get in their lockers. They're trying to prevent that sort of thing from happening. And so all of these steps are being taken, kids taken out of school, kids being quarantined, teachers being quarantined. All for the sake of hoping that it doesn't get passed on. Well, what if like 80% of kids have already had it or do have it? It appears as if one of the things that we've learned, but we seem to ignore, is that oftentimes kids that age will get it, they never even know it. Situations that we have seen where they decided to go ahead and test a mass of people. Meatpacking plants, for example. I remember a couple, there was one in Missouri, I think one in Tennessee, others as well, but where they just thought, well, we're going to test everyone. And I mean, there was this crazy amount, I think it was like 25%, somewhere around there, people had it at the time, but not a single one of them even had symptoms. Well, those are adults. kids appear to be even less bothered by it. So you can't help but wonder how many of those kids have already had it, who currently have it, but have absolutely no symptoms, so they're not getting tested. Now, I could be wrong. You could test a random school and it turn out that not a single kid has it at the school other than those who have been quarantined. But part of me can't help but believe that early on it was believed kids just really couldn't hardly get it at all anyhow. And then it seemed as if, well, they could, but it just wasn't noticeable because it didn't impact them in the same way that it did adults, and particularly those older. Just would be curious, what would we see? Would we potentially see that all of this effort of, and every school's different, but whatever the level of effort is to prevent kids from spreading it, is it moot because virtually all of them either have had it in the past? Now if I had a reason to not do that, it would be because, unfortunately, a lot of people who are in charge don't approach this stuff logically. Now, in my mind, let's just say theoretically, you tested an entire school and 80 to 85% of kids either have shown the antibodies that indicate that they've had it in the past or they currently have it. In my mind, that means, well, just the heck. Everybody, just let everything open up school-wise. Just everyone. I mean, virtually everyone's had it, going to have, you know, there's a good chance the 15, 20% that don't, maybe they just can't get it for whatever reason. I mean, for Pete's sake, why are we going through this? But what I suspect would happen is the people in charge would do the opposite. They'd freak out and they'd shut everything down. They wouldn't see it as in, well, this is good news. We don't have to worry about kids getting it because they are getting it, and we don't even know it because they aren't sick. Everything seems to be fine. Wow, we really, really approach this incorrectly. We approach this thinking we're going to have dead kids in the hallway and all this horrible stuff's going to happen, and that's not the case. We can treat this with even less severity than we do the regular flu. There's something about the minds of people who get into governmental positions where they think the opposite of the common sense approach. So that would be the downside of doing a full school testing. But I don't know if that hasn't happened somewhere. To me, it just seems like a common sense thing to do. Somewhere, if you're trying to really figure this stuff out, even if it's not on a local level, be it a state level or a federal level, going into random schools, and I guess you'd have to get parents' permission, you know, I mean, there's that component of it, but just to see what is actually going on, because we're so blind with a lot of this stuff. I mean, it just seems so interesting to me. Our approach when it comes to the schools is that something that we are treating as being so absolutely deadly, but not then testing to see if everyone has it within the school. Doesn't that seem a little bit like a contradiction? I don't know. It's just a thought I had. Springfield's Talk 104.1. Here's the latest traffic. I'm Nick Reed. Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate. Emily is one of the best in the business. She's knowledgeable, straightforward, very responsive to her clients' needs. I love the straightforward thing. One of the attributes that Emily recognizes in herself is that she is straightforward. And it is because of her focused goal, and that is to help you if you're selling a home. Get the most out of it possible, and to sell it as quickly as possible. And sometimes that may be telling you some hard truths. You may have done a DIY project that you think is the greatest thing, and you may be really proud of yourself. It was the first DIY project you ever did, and you just think it's incredible, but it may not be what the average person is looking for, and that's the sort of thing that Emily will tell you. Yeah, if you want somebody that's going to come tell you, you have the best house in the world, why don't you set the price? You know what's best. Then she's probably not for you. But if you want someone who's going to tell you what needs to be done, if anything, and your house may not need anything done, but if it does, and you want to be told that in order to get the most from your home and sell it as quickly as possible, then you want Emily Johnson of Rhodes Real Estate, okay? Her priority is not your feelings, although she is one of the nicest people you will ever meet. Her priority is to help you sell your home. Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate, 890-1455 is her number. That's 890-1455. You can also find and like her on Facebook. Do they still in school? I want to go back to this deal, just talking aloud about the public school system and how we are behaving in a manner that seems to indicate this belief that coronavirus is so deadly it could kill kids at any given moment. But then we don't test all of them. We just sort of wait until symptoms arise, and then they can go get tested themselves and just kind of let us know how it goes. It seems like a real contradiction. Now, I don't know if they still do this or not, but I know when I was in school, there were a few things that they checked all kids for. Scoliosis was one, but head lice was another, right? Especially if one kid turned out to have head lice, everyone got checked. Remember that? You go, you sit, stand in a single line, and then you go, you sit down in a chair, and a nurse has the latex gloves on and kind of looks through your hair. Next, you know, and the next kid, next. Then the next kid, and if you had it, you got sent home until it was gone. But every single kid got checked. Now, certainly, it seems as if coronavirus is something that we are treating as if it's more dangerous than head lice, but then we're not. Now, they may not do checks like that for kids anymore. I don't know because I haven't been in school for some time. But they used to do that in the hearing test. You remember they'd go and stand in line and you put the big headphones on and it would give beeps. And they just did this for all kids. And then to have this coronavirus thing pop up and like we don't test all kids for that, even though it is this freak out pandemic in which we're shutting down some schools or shutting them down half the time when we have no clue whether or not kids have it, they don't have it. It's just such an odd thing. And like I said, the answer to that, of course, I'm sure as well, it's to prevent it from happening. But if you don't test all the kids, you don't know what may have already happened. You could have every kid in the school that has it, but because of the way it works with kids, and oftentimes they show no symptoms, you just don't know it. Got a text. Remember when the school and doctors were warning about kids carrying backpacks loaded down with books and how it could lead to future development, bone, and body issues? So they skipped school, started limiting homework. I do remember that. And that popped in my mind as well whenever I found out, and I'm sure a lot of schools are this way. You know, we have an 11-year-old that's carrying a backpack that's heavier than she is. And she has to carry her lunch around because they won't allow them to use lockers because, you know, they don't want that crowding around lockers in between classes. And I did that. I thought, well, isn't it funny how times change? And how the warnings about our children's health shifts from generation to generation. And what's once upon a time, the scare was, as you know, that text message pointed out it was backpacks too heavy, and now it's like, well, they're young, they'll be fine, it's good for them. All right, after the break, I want to talk a little bit about some of the reaction to fans Thursday night's game booing the quote moment of unity. Now Friday we talked about the incident itself, but since then there's been a lot of commentary on it. There's even a bit of a back and forth between Josh Hawley and Jason Kander. You may remember Jason Kander. He kind of ran for attorney general. He lost. Then he was going to run for something else. And I think it was mayor of Kansas City. And then he backed out of that. And now he's on there shooting insults to Josh Hawley. And it all has to do with the Thursday night game. So that next, I'm Nick Reed on Springfield's Talk 104.1. Okay. Thursday night, of course. Friday, we talked about the Thursday night booing at the Chiefs game during the moment of unity. And so some have used it as an opportunity, of course, to characterize people in Missouri, flyover country, just a bunch of heathens. Trash. Josh Hawley responding to one of the characterizations that middle America is nothing but classless trash, and he tweeted out, "Classless trash? The left showing their usual contempt for middle America. Missouri has the best fans in the country. Don't blame them for being tired of NFL corporate woke politics jammed down their throats." Former Democratic Missouri Secretary of State Jason Kander poked fun at Hawley a half hour later, tweeting Josh Hawley in favor of booing at Patrick Mahomes. He included a well-known gif from the 2004 film Dodgeball, where analyst Pepper Brooks, who was played by Jason Bateman, delivered the famous line, quote, "That's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him." So, it's a real, real smart thing there, Hawley. You're supporting people that boo Patrick Mahomes. Listen. And this is where the left, once again, have no clue about average Americans. This is why Jason Kander is not in office today in Missouri, because they don't understand Missourians. And it's not just Missouri. I'm talking the average American. It isn't unity that they're booing. It's the division that they're booing. The reason the fans boo is because they prefer unity. In other words, the way it once was, where this was an event where people could get together. It did not matter your background. It did not matter your lot in life. It didn't matter your political affiliation. It did not matter what your personal beliefs were. Everyone came together for several hours on any given Sunday or Thursday or whatever day it would be, and put all of that aside and just enjoy a game. It was one of the few places in the country where you could have that sort of unity. And it was always kicked off, as it still is. Well, now we've got a couple national anthems in there. But the national anthem, that is for all Americans. Now, they don't have to like it, but it's welcoming to all Americans. And it didn't matter what team you were on. You notice that? It's one of the great things. You got these fans, rival fans. Depending on the teams, may have a real hatred for one another, but there was that moment beforehand, everyone stood up in unity, together. That was a moment of unity, and then from then on, even though there was the adversarial gameplay, everyone was unified in the sense that we're all here to watch a game. Well, now that unity has been stripped from the game. And now divisions are created. And like I said, people can say what they want to about Kaepernick and, all that, and whether he has the right to do it and right not. That's all fine and good, and it's a great discussion to have. But the fact of the matter is, most people didn't like it because it creates division. Let me analogize this. And I know some of this stuff, it's just, you think, why do we have to keep repeating this over and over again? Well, it's because people like Jason Kander don't get it. It's like Thanksgiving. And maybe you have people, family members that don't agree on, most families have things that they don't agree on. But everyone gets together for Thanksgiving and has a good time. But then you got that one relative that just has to bring up things that are divisive. Whether it's politics, religion, whatever it may be. That one thing, and they just won't let it go. Now, of course, they, in their minds, are like, well, I just don't know why everyone doesn't unify and agree with me. No, you are creating divisions in an area where they otherwise did not exist. That doesn't mean you don't have the right to believe those things. It doesn't mean that everyone has to agree. But it means, for the sake of unity, at any given moment, not deliberately bringing up things that cause divisions. The people who are booing because they are tired of the division. And the thing of it is, for the Jason Canders in the world and all these other people, I think they've gaslit themselves to some degree. They have it all totally and completely backwards. You know what? There wasn't a need to call for unity three seasons ago and prior to that, because you didn't have all of these protest things taking place. You want unity again? Then stop all that. It's not that difficult. We've had it before. We did it before. Now, I'm talking in the context of the game. But this gaslighting of people, claiming that the people who want the unity and are tired of the constant dividing, that they are the ones who are booing unity. And I do. I think that they've gaslit themselves. They are so turned upside down that they don't have any concept of what average Americans are sick and tired of, and it's this non-stop deliberate division. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Welcome to the show, everyone. We did a mask giveaway at a partner location last Friday, and when the doors opened, there were people already waiting, and it didn't take long for those masks to run out. Now, these are masks that have the KSGF logo on them, and then the quote from Ronald Reagan about government not being the solution to the problem, but government is the problem. We are going to have another giveaway coming up this Friday. This time, Ming Auto Beauty Center. That's 1273 East Republic. It's just off National and Republic on the north side of the road. Their hours are Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and Friday they will have those masks available. It's first come, first serve, and we ask one per person. So if you did not get an opportunity to get one this past Friday, you have an opportunity this Friday as well. So a big thank you to Ming Auto Beauty Center helping us out in this to make sure that those of you who maybe didn't get them this last time around will have the ability to still get them coming up this Friday. Don Luzader now with news.
And good morning. The state of Missouri has spent $1.3 million fighting lawsuits from businesses that did not get medical marijuana licenses. The state says the legal fees are a one-time cost associated with getting the program up and running, but others say it's a reflection of problems with how permits were awarded to begin with. City of Springfield is seeking input on the Galloway Trail reconstruction project. You can pick up a public comment card through today to let your opinion be heard. The project will reconstruct approximately a half mile of existing asphalt trail with a new wider concrete surface that's compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act. Now, the basic path will stay the same and no trees will be removed. And that is the latest news.
KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by Anchor Tactical Supply. Sunny day, high of 80. Tonight, mostly clear, 59. Sunny 83 tomorrow and a 50% chance of showers on Wednesday, high of 83. It's 59 and some clouds. You know, there is a story that has been circulating about Joe Biden for some time now that I may have just totally completely missed this, any sort of coverage. But there was an allegation that some time ago, I think it was during the Obama, yeah, it would have been the Obama years, that there were pictures being taken and there was a photo. Joe Biden was taking a photo with the girlfriend of a Secret Service agent. And he grabbed her boob. And it was so, now this is a story. Now I'm going to tell you why this is coming up now, or why it should be, I suppose, if it's not. It was so obvious that he copped a feel, that the boyfriend, the Secret Service agent who was the boyfriend, physically went after Joe Biden and had to be pulled off of him, or at least stopped before he got to Joe Biden, by other Secret Service agents. He was going to kick his butt. It was 2009. The Secret Service agent, according to the story, was suspended for a week because he did physically get to Biden, okay, according to the report, and he shoved him. So the reason that this has come back up is because Judicial Watch was doing an open records request to try to get information on this, to find out what exactly happened. And the Secret Service was failing to respond to the administrative appeal, challenging its claim that all files related to the altercation have been destroyed. Now, this is sort of interesting because this is seemingly an admission that it happened. There had been rumors of this, and so Judicial Watch, they're like, we want any and all records pertaining to the 2009 incident in which a Secret Service agent was suspended for a week for attacking the vice president because the vice president sexually assaulted his girlfriend. And the answer from Secret Service is all records regarding that incident have been destroyed, so we cannot turn them over. Now, that seems to me like a pretty big story. We're not, the reason that the, that it's not just a rumor, in my opinion, I get it. There's no news coverage of these allegations. If you don't have somebody coming out claiming this happened to me, or the Secret Service agent coming out saying, yes, this happened to my girlfriend and I got suspended because of this, and you just have rumors. Now, of course, if it was a rumor against Trump or Pence, they'd be all over it. But legitimately, I understand why that in and of itself is not a news story. But when there is a request on all paperwork regarding the incident itself, and the response is that that paperwork was destroyed, and they say due to retention standards, I don't know, you know, whether that's BS or if they, being a Secret Service agent, that seems to me the sort of thing that you'd have a file for the rest of your life if you were, you know, and maybe I'm wrong. But even if it's a legitimate sort of deal where, well, after somebody's retired from the Secret Service, it gets destroyed, all this, the response from the Secret Service wasn't, well, we don't have any such incident on record. They say, no, the report on that incident, all that paperwork has been destroyed. So they're acknowledging that this happened. And I'm not hearing, and I fully acknowledge, I may be missing it. There may be people talking about this. I just may have missed it. I don't really spend a lot of time following, you know, what other people are talking about necessarily. But usually, if other people are talking about something like this, you're going to start hearing about it more. And I'm just not hearing much about this. And it just seems like they acknowledge that, yeah, it happened. We just don't have the records for it any longer. I'm wondering if this, you know, maybe this is something that they're waiting to highlight at a specific time. You know, whether or not that Secret Service agent will come out, there may be some sort of non-disclosure situation involved here, or the victim of the alleged sexual assault, whatever the reason being. But, you know, it's just hard to get around the fact that this seems to have been an acknowledged occurrence by way of the Secret Service's response to the request for the investigation, all the paperwork as part of that investigation. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. With a greater frequency, Clark Howard in the morning as I'm getting ready for the show, and I've got him on. People will call, ask questions about vehicles, and just, you know, Clark Howard, he's got this rule of thumb that it's either 42 or 44, 3.5 years. That's the longest that you should ever have to take out a loan for a vehicle. That's his suggestion anyhow. And nowadays, I mean, they've got like 72 months, and they may even have 80. It's just crazy compared to the way that it once upon a time was. And vehicles are becoming more expensive. I, like a lot of folks, buy pre-owned vehicles. And before I became familiar with the way A1 Custom Car Care does things, I bought a vehicle without getting it fully inspected. I liked it, thought it was a good deal, I was excited about buying it, and I ended up spending more on repairs than I did the vehicle itself. That could have been avoided if I had taken advantage of the service that is offered by A1 Custom Car Care for an inspection. Now, this is not your government-mandated inspection. This is get in there and see exactly what you're buying. There may be problems with the vehicle the seller isn't even aware of. And while at the time I would have thought, oh, I don't know if I want to spend money to get that done, man, there is no wiser decision I could have made financially than to have done that. But I just wasn't aware of it at the time. It was a long time ago. I cannot recommend enough having that done if you're going to buy a pre-owned vehicle. Even if you're like, I know the owner, man, he takes great good care of it. Cars break down, things go wrong, and whomever's selling it to you probably doesn't know that it's got whatever problem may be unseen, if it exists. It can also help you, you know, negotiate the price a bit. Three locations, Fort and Sunshine, Springfield Highway 60, Republican West, Sunset across from Classic Rock Coffee. It's A1 Custom Car Care. In a continuation of the Me Too movement's obituary, Democrat Lieutenant Governor, Virginia, Justin Fairfax, who's been accused of sexually assaulting two women, rape, formally announced he's running for governor Saturday. Two separate women accused Fairfax, who became lieutenant governor in 2017, of sexual assault in February of 2019, according to Fox 5, local affiliate. Now, this was one of the first instances in which Democrats began to see that the Me Too movement was becoming a net loss for them. This was something they played up when they thought it was going to help them block a Trump nominee to the U.S. Supreme Court. But then when people began expecting accountability for other individuals who are actually proven to have committed sexual assault, all of a sudden it was Democrats, one after another, after another, after another, after another, that we began to learn had a bit of a problem. Once the movement stopped being useful to the Democrats and began to be counterproductive, harming them, they dropped it. One of the first recipients of the death of the Me Too movement at the hands of the Democrat Party was Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax, because he had these two individuals that came out and accused him of sexual assault. And that was one of the first instances where Democrats were like, well, it was a long time ago. And I mean, can you really believe him? Fairfax's former classmate at Duke University, Meredith Watson, accused him of raping her in 2000. And California professor Vanessa Tyson accused him of forcing her to perform an act on him at the 2004 Democratic National Convention in Boston. Fairfax, of course, oh, they're liars. These aren't victims that are supposed to be believed. They're just lying trash. Fairfax's chief of staff said back in February of 2019, Lieutenant Governor Fairfax has an outstanding and well-earned reputation for treating people with dignity and respect. Well, if you don't consider women to be people, that could be accurate. And of course, denied ever assaulting anyone. Again, these are just trash. These are not victims who are supposed to be believed. So here is yet another addition to the obituary of the Me Too movement at the hands of the Democrat Party. I get it when it comes to politicians. But what is it with all these women who go out there and they are all about believing the accuser, believing the accuser, believing the accuser. But then the moment it's somebody with a D next to their name, they're seemingly okay with it. It's astounding the level of posing that some of these people will do, portraying themselves as being supporter of women who are sexually assaulted, unless the accused is a Democrat. I suppose it's just part of paying dues if you're a Democrat voter. Hey, ladies, you don't have to pay those sorts of dues if you support Republicans, just so you know. If you're looking for a place, you don't have to worry about this happening and then you having to keep your mouth shut and being called a liar. There's a place for you. Stay where you are if you want. I mean, if that's the place you want to be, if you want to keep supporting that, promoting that, helping be part of the problem, knock yourself out. But that cardboard sign that you make with profane words on it loses just a little bit of its meaning if you happen to be a supporter of people who behave in that manner. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. There was an attempted assassination, two deputies, Los Angeles County. Of course, Trump has said, we got to catch these people fast. If either of them die, death penalty, let's do it swiftly. Biden's like, well, all violence is bad, and this is why we need more gun control laws. Now, with Biden's position, and this is the Democrat position, that this is the reason we need more gun control laws, keep that position in mind as I read to you the following story from the Daily Wire. Teen who robbed gun store was released, went on to murder Walgreens clerk. In May, 17-year-old Sincere Williams allegedly stole 14 handguns from a Chicago gun store before he was quickly caught by police. The owner of Suburban Sporting Good Guns and Ammo told CBS 2 that Williams attempted to steal 14 handguns from his store and should not have been on the streets when the teen allegedly killed Walgreens clerk Olga Marie Calderon. Williams allegedly took a bus to the Melrose Park in Chicago, where the gun store is located, back in May, armed with a hammer. The gun store owner said Williams smashed the front glass at least 20 times before breaking in and taking 14 handguns. He was quickly arrested and charged as a juvenile, even though he was 2 months away from his 18th birthday. Gun store owner telling CBS 2, it's a pretty heinous crime. They weren't hunting guns. He wasn't stealing to feed his family. They were likely going somewhere very bad. I was kind of enraged. It's like, here's this kid that broke into a gun store, stole several firearms, the owner said, of Williams being charged as a juvenile. Just because he was caught, it doesn't lessen the severity of the crime. Williams was released from police custody but ordered to wear an electronic monitoring bracelet. In August, the gun shop owner told CBS 2 Williams allegedly violated the conditions of his electronic monitoring agreement, yet, for some reason, the court ordered the bracelet be removed, and the Cook County State Attorney did not object. After the monitoring bracelet was removed, Williams allegedly robbed two Walgreens stores in Chicago. 4 days after one of those robberies, he returned to the store and allegedly stabbed 32-year-old clerk Calderon 10 times. Calderon would die from her injuries. CBS reported that the court documents show, I mean, he was on foot or on surveillance doing it. They found his bloody clothes. They found the knife. I mean, so it's one of those situations where we're talking about a pretty clear-cut case. He deserves his day in court, but there's a plethora of evidence showing that it was him who did it. Now, as I mentioned before, you've got Democrats, their answer to people committing violence is that we need to ban guns. Yet they don't enforce the laws that are in place. Here's a kid just shy of his 18th birthday, tried to steal 14 firearms, and when he was put, you know, on a bracelet in order, or an anklet, to be monitored. He took it off, and they said, don't worry about it. And he murders someone just days later. There is no legitimate point in creating new laws when you let people off the hook for violating the current ones. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed.